On Tuesday's front page, seven Republican candidates squared off in the first debate 7 months before the first primary vote. How computer hackers used Citigroup's customer website to impersonate actual credit card holders. And whimsical works of art. You won't find them hanging on a wall. They're stuck on sidewalks in London. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the spotlight was trained on former Governor Mitt Romney as seven Republican candidates squared off in their first debate. He said he had the best credentials for promoting economic revival and job creation. He tried to deflect conservative criticism over the Massachusetts health care plan that resembles the national one President Obama championed. Romney said he would repeal what he called Obamacare. Former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty presented himself as an alternative to Romney. Over the weekend, Pawlenty coined the term Obamacare, criticizing Romney and the president all at once. But in the debate, Pawlenty sounded restrained. Newt Gingrich, whose campaign imploded last week when his top advisors resigned, didn't mention the controversy. Tuesday's front page says hundreds more Syrians fled across the border into Turkey after the government retook the town of Jisr al-Shagur. The attack has deepened the animosity between the Sunni Muslim majority and the minority sect that President Bashar al-Assad belongs to. Times reporter Anthony Shadid says northern Syria has become a flashpoint for the uprising that began earlier in the year.
The arrival of the refugees across the border in Turkey is amounting to a humanitarian crisis. The Turkish government is struggling to cope with their numbers, and more Syrians appear on the verge of leaving their homes in the troubled area of northern Syria. The very complexity of that area has made for a combustible mix, with many of the residents in Jisr al-Shagur accusing their neighbors in the towns of Ashtabrak of helping the government carry out this attack on the town. For weeks and weeks, we've heard the specter of sectarian strife in Syria. In the days and months ahead, Jisr al-Shagur may prove a symbol of Syria's diversity and its potential for sectarian strife, writ small.
Times correspondent Anthony Shadid. In this country, the Department of Education now requires universities to collect information about students' race and ethnicity. That's making it easier for students to claim a multiracial identity, and that, in turn, is changing the admissions process. Tuesday's Times says the number of multiracial applicants has skyrocketed, but colleges have had to face some difficult questions, including how to account for various racial mixes in seeking diversity on campus. Some scholars worry this could erode the original intent of affirmative action, which was to help disadvantage minorities. Tuesday's Times looks at how hackers access Citigroup's credit card data. It turns out they used Citigroup's customer website. They logged on as actual cardholders. They discovered they could penetrate Citi's defenses by putting different account numbers in the address bar at the top of the webpage. They managed to capture the names and account numbers of more than 200,000 customers. Here in New York, $7.4 billion in state contracts have gone to companies represented by law firms where legislators have part-time jobs. That's less than 4% of all state contracts since 2006, but they come with the potential for conflicts. One of the largest contracts is a $1.7 billion deal with an energy company that's represented by the law firm where State Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos works part-time. Governor Andrew Cuomo and state legislative leaders are proposing new rules in response to recent corruption scandals. Legislators who are lawyers would have to disclose the clients they personally represent who do business with the state. Also on Tuesday's front page, a look at the art of Ben Wilson. He's an internationally renowned painter. He specializes in creating tiny images on blobs of chewing gum on sidewalks in London. Times correspondent Sarah Lyle says the result is lovely. She says Wilson creates seemingly random spots of color amid the gray. Sometimes the police question him. He says they leave him alone when he explains he's not the one who put the gum on the sidewalk. Inside Tuesday's Times, you probably don't think of upstate New York as landslide territory, but it turns out there are landslides here in the Northeast. They're just really slow. Right now, there's a landslide in Keene Valley, New York. Every day, it drives between 2 inches and 2 feet of dirt downhill, taking trees, rocks, and houses with it. Charity Marlatt's house is now teetering. She and her husband have hired movers to drag it back from the edge. That's going to cost $150,000. President Obama suggested Congressman Anthony Weiner should step down. The president stopped short of demanding that Weiner leave Congress. He told NBC News he would resign if he were in Congressman Weiner's place because the controversy has made him a less effective public servant. Greece's debt is now the lowest rated in the world, according to Standard & Poor's. Tuesday's Business Day section says S&P cut its grade on Greek debt 3 notches to CCC. That's another sign the market believes Greece will be forced to default. The downgrade comes at a particularly awkward moment. The Greek government is trying to get legislators to accept austerity measures. At the same time, Germany is proposing bondholders accept some form of a loss on their Greek bonds as a condition for a rescue package. A closely watched labor case goes to court on Tuesday. Barring a last-minute settlement, lawyers for the National Labor Relations Board will argue Boeing broke the law by building a non-union production line in South Carolina instead of expanding its unionized operation in Washington State. The NLRB says that amounted to illegal retaliation against Boeing's existing unionized workforce. Boeing has admitted labor disruptions were a concern when it settled on South Carolina for the $750 million assembly plant for its new Dreamliner jet. Wendy's and Arby's are splitting up. Roark Capital is paying $130 million for Arby's. Wendy's is keeping 18.5%. The deal will unwind a $2.3 billion merger from back in 2008. Another twist on the road to recovery for the Swedish automaker Saab, a second Chinese company signed on as an investor. That'll let Saab make and sell cars in China. Zhejiang Youngman Lotus is buying a 29.9% stake in the company for $195 million. In Tuesday's arts section, Bono and The Edge now say they were ill-prepared for translating Julie Taymor's vision for Spider-Man into a Broadway show. They ultimately lost faith in her. She was ousted in March. Now the revised Spider-Man is scheduled to open on Tuesday. Bono says he hasn't put any of his own money into the $70 million musical. The Edge says he put some in, but he didn't say how much. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.